Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet The Amazing Podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining me for the Be Amazing Podcast today. Before I get into who my guest is, I want you to save the date. October 15th and 16th, 2021, the Be Amazing Weekend is coming back to Charlotte. Our title sponsor is Strong Fitness Magazine. Our photographer for the entire weekend is the chief photographer of Strong Magazine, Paul Busetta. So you do not want to miss this. It's going to be an incredible opportunity. It's all around fitness. It's all about women celebrating each other, celebrating our achievements, just having fun. Like, I think we all need that right now. We all need to have something to look forward to where we can come together and have fun. There are going to be all kinds of fitness events. So there's a 5K run. There will be the Miss Be Amazing Bikini Competition, the Be Amazing Showcase, which is an opportunity for you to share your story and celebrate your journey. And then we're going to end things with the Be Amazing Gala, which is like pretty much one big party. So you don't want to miss this. For more information, go to beamazingweekend.com. You can also follow us on IG at Be Amazing Weekend and get ready because registration opens in February. So now let's switch gears and let's talk about my guest today, Jodi Meehan. She is a wife, a mom, an entrepreneur. She is a trainer, a coach. She is here to tell her story today, and it's all about surrendering to win. She has faced some pretty hard things in her life. She's overcome an eating disorder. She has faced alcoholism head on, and she talks about overcoming that, and now she is on a mission to help women feel empowered, beautiful, and strong through fitness. So stay tuned for this incredible conversation with Jodi Meehan.
Jodi, I'm so excited to have you here today because we're going to talk about fitness. You're going to share with us your story, and it's such an incredible thing, and I'm so honored to be the one to share this. So let's just roll right into it. I really want to talk about how you got started in fitness.
You got it. Well, first, girl, I'm so excited to sit here and chat with you. So thank you so much for having me. How did I get into fitness? I am like you. I was a dancer, right? So, you know, I also, you know, I had three older brothers. So as a kid, I was the only girl and the youngest. So I kind of was always tagging along with them. So always very active. But you know, nowadays they've got, when kids are 3 and 4, they can join soccer. Back then, I mean, I'm a 70s girl. This was the 70s. You didn't have that. So there wasn't sports for young kids. So I got into dance at a young age instead, right? That was what, you know, little girls did. So that's how it started for me. And I danced all through high school. I did and cheered, choreographed a lot of our dances, right? Being a cheerleader. You know, just, I even went to college and minored in dance. So fitness aspect, you know, the way that it came on for me is what my mission is in life today, to help women be empowered and feel beautiful and feel strong, starts from a really dark place. Okay. So, you know, being a dancer, there was this, you know, needing to be thin, right? You're in bodysuit. Do you remember like tights, like leotards and leg warmers? I mean, way back. Right. So, you know, you're thin, you're working on that. And it was a thing that developed into an eating disorder for me in high school. You know, I was a late bloomer. And once my body started to mature and I'm filling out my tights a little different, Seal, you know, I was feeling like I was losing control. So an eating disorder developed then. Moving into college, it switched a flip. And I don't know if anyone out there can identify with, you know, when you're a young girl and your body's changing and the world is changing and there's peer pressures out there, you know, a sense of control, that's one thing that we can control is our food intake. So I went to college though, and it was harder to conceal because you knew friends, roommates, people like that. So I flipped the switch and I was anorexic and, you know, you go to the dining hall, you can't not eat everyone, you're sitting with everyone. So then it kind of switch to bulimia. Why I embraced fitness, I went to college for corporate communication, Seal. Okay. What is that? I went to my guidance counselor in high school, and this is what often happens, right? You go through high school and your guidance counselor doesn't really know you. And she's like, you're great with people, Jody. You should do communications. So what do? I pick the best communication school in New York and I go to it, not even knowing myself, right? So I went for corporate communications, hated it. The only thing that kept me there was dance. I was still the dance minor. Those were the classes that I loved. So hated the topic, hated all of it, wanted to quit school. And in the midst of all that, again, feeling really out of control with my life, feeling homesick, feeling, you know, I don't like what I'm studying. Here I am in college. Like, what am I doing? I went to a really dark place, and depression runs in my family. I have uncles with depression on my mom's side of the family. So I just got really, really depressed, and I was ready to quit school. I'm like, I'm done. And the eating disorder I got help with. I finally went and at least talked to someone. First time really just even approaching the topic, right? And then I flipped a switch. I changed my major and I became Bachelor of Science in Fitness and Cardiac Rehab. So I let my obsession seal with my body, controlling food, controlling the size of it, become a new obsession in a new way. Is I'm going to study everything I can about the body. I'm going to understand it so hard that I'm going to be able to control it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's like so interesting. Like all of a sudden you're like to get so like wrapped up in it that you feel like you have full control.
Yes. I'm going to learn everything I can. And I do. And I loved school and I did well in school and I love to learn. And then I thrived, you know, I got happy. I love all that anyway. Like I do love anatomy, kinesiology. How does our body move? Doing clinical studies on all of that, like that intrigued me and I found my happy place. So that's where studying fitness, learning nutrition, learning all of that is based in my original education. Okay. But to also understand that it came from not so great of a place to start, right? You know, fast forward 30 years later, we're in a completely different spot, but that was the beginning. So that's how I got into it. And then of course started working out regularly and got in all kinds of things. So that's how it started. And then I graduated and started a career.
Did you feel like once you had completed school that like you all of a sudden had like this handle on it? Like, I got all the knowledge now. I've done the study. I've done the work. I feel like I'm in control of it. And this includes being in control of like your body and your eating disorder.
No way. Not at all. It doesn't work like that. So again, this is the false idea that just another way of thinking I could do it on my own and I'll learn everything I can. And it didn't work. No, it didn't. Obsession's still there. I loved it though. I loved helping other people. The thing is for me, I've always been customer. Whatever I've done in my life is always to help other people feel good about themselves. And I made a career change later on in life, but still it was about getting women in front of me and making them feel better about who they are. Because if I'm helping them feel better, then I feel better, right? Even though you can still be self-loathing. I'm not thin enough. I'm not this and, you know, I'm not tall enough. I'm not whatever. But that comes from a completely different place than really what the issue is, which is the body. You know, it's a hole inside that you're trying to fill. It's a sense of perfectionism that stems in a way back. Like I said, here I was this little girl. When I started to mature, things changed and I had no control over it. And it was just how I handled it. And the perfectionism, I feel women in this world today, good God, with social media, we need to get a grip on it. And this was back way before that. My first magazine was Young Miss. I mean, I don't know if anybody out there even is old enough to remember Young Miss magazine, but I mean, Cindy Crawford, you know, all these models that were coming out and I'm looking at them and I'm looking at me and it's not the same. And this comparison game, I have two teenage daughters and I feel it's like they are inundated with perfectionism. It's crazy. So you're never going to get there. Seal, what is perfect? There isn't any perfect. You're never going to get there, but you can chase it. You can chase it for years and years and years. And people have a journey with it, trying to get there.
Yeah. I feel like that's very, very relevant right now. It's so easy to compare, like where before you would like go to the store, get a magazine, you know, or even possibly turn on the TV and have that kind of comparison, where now it's like, it's at your phone. All you do is open it up and it's right there.
here's who I follow, and I always share their stuff, are the women who are perfect on Instagram, but then show the imperfection. You know, they, oh my God, they'll be on the beach and they'll be like, here's my pose picture. Here's me jumping around where everything wiggles. Like, that's reality. And that's what I show my, I'm like, here, girls, look at this, you know, like this is real, you know? So I'm not there yet, Seal. I'll tell you, that's one of my goals for 2021, not kidding, is to start to put up those images where it's not, you know, it's just kind of like when you're brushing your teeth and your gut's hanging out, you know, you're like, what do you think about sucking in while you're brushing your teeth? You're not. You know, like, let's get real with that. Set up a tripod, okay? And, you know, post that, okay? So that women don't compare or can see that our bodies are meant to be adored. They're real and they serve a greater purpose than just to be looked at. So.
Love that. Love all of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, so let's shift gears a little bit because I want to talk about the transition because you have been in a service mode as far as serving women and making women feel beautiful. And so you went from being in health and fitness and then jumped to cosmetology and hair.
Yes.
Which you guys, Jody is like, her hair is amazing, first of all. Like every time I see it, I'm like, man, she's like so cutting edge and like super cool. So, which totally represents your personality. But just give us a little bit of like history there. Like what caused you to transition to that and kind of go from fitness to beauty?
So I know, that's quite a jump, right? When I was in high school, you know, there was a path, right? So back when I was in high school in the 90s, it was like my three brothers went to college. They're like, you're going to college. They didn't care that I wanted to go to cosmetology school. They're not going to do that. So it didn't matter what I wanted to do. Hence the story of going to school for something I didn't know what it was. So, you know, I skipped over that want and did what everybody else wanted me to do, right? Again, feeling out of control. So I went into health and fitness and I started as a personal trainer and I moved to North Carolina and became a director of wellness at a hospital, Cape Fear Valley Hospital. And it was great. However, still the eating disorder hadn't gotten help with that really yet, right? So you're still striving, still working, still trying to move around it, still helping other people. I'm still in this vicious circle. So I worked in the hospital and one of the nurse's daughters had leukemia. So we decided to start a team and we ran a marathon. We raised money for leukemia for her daughter. And I was like, if I run a marathon, number one, I'm going to raise money for this adorable little girl. Number two, I'm going to lose weight. Who runs all those miles and doesn't lose weight? Not that I needed to, but again, what was it about? Perfectionism. So I train hard. I run a marathon in like beat the time I even set out for myself. It was phenomenal. Then what happened was this severe depression when it was all over. I did all this and it was a pound. And what did I really do it for? How sick and empty is that, right? So sick and empty. And my eating disorder was still there. I went into work one day. Now I am running a wellness program, mind you. I went into work one day and I put my stuff down on my desk. And I was like, you are such a hypocrite. You scream and teach and educate health and fitness, and you can't even get a grip on yourself. So I really hit a wall and knew I couldn't do this anymore. And I got to a point of feeling suicidal and like, I can't live one more day like this. It was just too emotionally overwhelming. So I got help. I went away. And that was the first time that I really, you know, said, I can't do this by myself. You know, I need to do something. So I did. I went away for that. So hence that, North Carolina, knew I needed my family to support me. They lived in New York, had to move home, moved home, got help with that. And then decided to switch and say, you know what, maybe I need to switch careers, get out of the body obsession, get out of a job and career based on, you know, where this hole, this darkness that I came from, right? So I'm like, hey, let me do this. So got a handle on the eating disorder. I went back to hair school and that is how I get into it. And I actually was a personal trainer initially years ago for women that owned a hair salon here. So while I went to school, I worked there. They were great. And I loved it.
And this takes us to the next part of your story, which shows that you can't run away from addiction. You can't run away from obsession. Feel like it'll show up somewhere else in your life. So tell us, like, so you were in hair now in cosmetology for what, 10, was it 10 years?
Yes, just and about then, 10 years.
So in that 10-year period, there were some things that kind of triggered another part in your life. Yeah. So tell us about that, because like, I feel like when you transition, it's like, I got to get away from what's causing that. And then you go to this other thing, and then all of a sudden something else shows up.
It all comes from a place of, you know, your character defects, how you feel about yourself, right? Obsession, addiction. It's trying to mask, trying to cover, trying to not really deal with issues that are deep down. And it's like, okay, if I do this, you know, it can numb it, right? So I got a handle on the food, but you know, I didn't get a handle on myself. So I worked this program, right? I went away and I got away from the triggers, but I never really did the work, the inner part of what caused me to feel this way? Why wasn't I ever good enough, right? So if you don't deal with that stuff, Seal, it is going to show its face in another way. And it did. So for me, I got into hair and where I, in my area I was at, these people, like we would go out after work. Now I was in my late 20s, right? You know, early mid 20s. And we'd go out after work. And so I also have alcoholism in my family, yay me, right? So, which, you know, is genetic, I believe. And so I would start going out and I would notice that, oh my gosh, the drinks got more. Now I was going out on Thursday. Now we're doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, now I never bought wine and brought it home to my house. I was like, what? You know, now I'm buying wine and bringing it home for Monday night. You know, so it was just this trend of increasing over time. And I, you know, just hit some dark spots with some relationships and it started to be, again, an obsession. So one addiction can replace another. And it's very, very common. Sometimes it can go the other way. People who are alcoholics will then pick up food, or they switch to, then it turns to overeating, or addiction is addiction. It doesn't matter. It can be shopping. It can be, you know, so I was just changing the face of what my addiction was, what my obsession was. That's what happened. I ended up becoming an alcoholic. I got married in that time though. I did meet my husband. I got married throughout those years and I started a family. And that was when, you know, I had little girls and this trend of that I found myself in, you know, not being able to go a night without a drink, was disturbing to me. And I knew I was headed down the wrong path. You know what I'm saying? It was different when I was in my 20s. I didn't have anybody where I was responsible for, right? You know, but now I'm, you know, 32, 33 years old and I've got these two little girls. Here's the thing with alcoholism and addiction too. There's different levels, Seal. There's people who are down out, you know, but addiction's addiction. I was very high functioning. I held a job. I got my kids where they needed to go. You know, it was like nobody really knew except those who were really close to me. And it can happen. But what happened to me is the hole, it stopped filling up the hole. It stopped making me feel better. And one night, I'll never forget, I was driving home from work. I was a hair designer and I was driving home from work. And as with every fiber of my being, I did not want to stop at the liquor store and buy a bottle. I just didn't. But the fear of not having it in case I wanted it was so strong. And that was the first, I'm like, you can't not stop at the store. Like it was like unbelievable. It's almost like I was like, being propelled or compelled to drive in and get it. And I'm like, and even if I didn't want it. And the thing is with me, it's consumption. It doesn't take a lot. It didn't take a lot for me. I was not one bottle. I'd only keep one bottle of wine a day in my house, which is why I had to stop every day. Because if there was more than one, I would keep going. So I was putting these little limitations on myself, you know, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So anyway, that was like the big indication for me. And, you know, it's just, I didn't want to be that mom. I didn't want to be that person and hide anymore. And so I did get help. I went away again. I went, I didn't intend to. It was the saddest day. I went to my doctor. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. So I went to my doctor and she immediately put me right into, she didn't even let me go home. I was like, I got to go to work. She's like, oh no, you don't. You're not going to work. She's like, you're going to the hospital and we're going to get this figured out. So I didn't see my babies. Now I left them. I kissed them at my mother's. kissed them goodbye that day and did not know I was not going to see them for a month. Okay, well, I went away. But it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me at the same time. The hardest thing, but the greatest thing. And the problem was, for again, high functioning, I didn't need to detox. What do you do with an alcoholic who doesn't need to detox? So they don't know what to do with you, right? Because they're like, we can't keep her to she's not, you know what I mean? My levels were never high enough. So, but I was very fortunate that somebody went to bat for me and got me into a place. And I went away and I did it. And I came out and, you know, was with an organization that really changed my life and helped me look at me, the real issue, because it's not the food, it's not the alcohol. The problem was me. And that's really, really tough to do. And you can't do it by yourself, Seal. You can't do it by yourself. Look how many years I tried, right? From high school, 15 till probably I was 37 when I went. And how many years of that chasing that, you know, hiding and chasing and finding something else to cover up? It doesn't work. It just didn't work. So.
Well, your courage and your strength, not only to like face each thing. So each time you faced it, I mean, it took you a while to get there, but you faced it. And on this last one, you know, taking the step and again, facing this addiction and being like, I'm done, it's enough. And then, but the message that you're sharing about, it's not the things that you're addicted to or obsessed with, it's something deeper. And there's no shame in that. And, you know, what would you say to someone that's struggling right now? Like somebody that might be struggling because of COVID and this is what they've turned to, because I feel like that this is something that's very real, that's happening in homes right now.
Yeah.
And with people that on the outside, you would never know. Mm-hmm. Or what you see on Instagram and Facebook, you would never know. But there's some real deep things going on. What would you say to someone?
Get over the shame of it and surrender. And it's not a shameful thing. And that's why I do share this, because you know, my family's very private. Like they I don't know where I came from. Cause like I share this. I want to help other women. It's not a secret, because by doing that, it helps me as well. And you can't do it by yourself. That's all I'm going to say. If you have a problem, you need to reach out to somebody else, whether you go get help, whether you tell a friend, you know, go talk to a therapist, anybody, but it's not going to get better with you trying to do it on your own. That's my experience, because you'll just keep spinning. And with COVID right now, it's a difficult thing, because I think that it just brings out the negative parts of people, where normally they've got these other great things they can do to heighten, to be happy, like gyms shut down, for God's sake, what a nightmare that was. So people who go to get their endorphins up, to go get their antidepressant daily with a good sweat, suddenly can't do that, right? You take that away from them. And the choice, that's what was backwards with this whole thing. Alcohol stores, you know, liquor stores were open. Go drink your face off, you know, lower your immunity, but don't go work out. So we were doomed with that whole thing. So now if people are facing that, they need to look at it and know that it's all right. There's no shame in it. Absolutely none. And to let that go and surrender, really just surrender and say, you know what, if you feel nervous about it, doesn't mean you have to admit anything, or that, you know what I mean? Maybe you're just even questioning, you know, my God, wow, I am drinking more, you know, like that's it. Then, you know, just say, all right, let me talk to somebody about this and check myself.
Yeah. I love that self-check, like just
self-check,
check in, be like, okay, is this, am I on the right path? Like, is this leading me to where I ultimately want to go? And just checking in with yourself. And I agree with you. I think it's so important to have people in your life, or even somebody you don't know, to go to for therapy. I know I've gone to therapy for things of that I've dealt with in my life. And it's so helpful to be able to, I hate to say unload, but like get rid of some of that baggage that you carry, and the stress of trying to hide, you know, hide it from people, or even try to like push it down and act like it doesn't exist with yourself.
Those are the things that's what causes it. When you don't deal with that stuff, it's like you want to hide it. With me, I wanted to, things looked picture perfect on the outside. That's why nobody knew, right? They're like, picture perfect on the outside. I was healthy. I worked out. I did, you know, had a job. But you know what? It is exhausting to keep up a facade. And once you can admit that and let that go, that's when the real healing can start to begin. And you can really start to look at why, you know, why am I feeling this way anyway? You know, and looking at yourself. And it's a lot of reflection, and it's a lot of inventory. And, you know, what I do now is you check myself every night. I do a daily inventory every night. And what doesn't settle right, I take care of immediately the next day. You know, like if I feel I was dishonest, or if I feel I was impatient with my kids, and, you know, like I need to fix that. Because if I bury that, right, and I carry it into the next day, it just builds until I need to cover it again. Right. I need to not feel it. I need to not feel it. So I'm going to, you know, whatever people's addictions are, they're going to turn that off because it's too hard. You know, when the pain gets great enough, people change, Seal. That's the deal. And sometimes it takes a long time. And for me, it took a long time for the pain to get great enough for me to actually look at myself and say, okay, you know, you can keep switching. What's it going to be next? You know, or you can really just start to deal with you and stop trying to fill a hole inside with something that is not, it's more for me. It was spirituality. I needed to, you know, look and get close to my higher power again. Like when I was little, I was very, oh my God, God was my best friend. And I had so close. And then, you know, I got away from it, but it's like, so now I'm trying to fill this hole that needs something spirit. And I'm trying to fill it with things of the world. And it didn't work. It just didn't work.
This is everything that I was hoping from our conversation. I knew that we would have. There have been times that I've tried to fill a void, or, you know, trying to go after something, and I get so focused on that and lose touch with what's really important. Mm-hmm. And for me, same thing. Relationship with God is huge. Like, that's mm-hmm. a huge part of my life. That's what keeps me centered. That's what fills my cup, so that then we can turn around and fill other people and be support and be that for other women. So I'm so thankful that you shared that, because I really believe that's a really important part. And everybody has to find that with themselves. Like,
and it's different. It can be different, but just to know there's something greater than you.
Right.
It's like, I needed to know to get over myself, Seal. I can't do this on my own. There is something greater than me. Right. And maybe that's what it is for somebody else. For me, it's God. Maybe for somebody else, it's something different, but
absolutely,
we aren't it. We are not it. Like, we are not in control ultimately. And when I could let that go, right, and stop trying to fill this hole, you know, with something else, you know, and fill it with, for me, spirituality and God, and say, it just all made sense. And you stop chasing. You stop chasing. And even so, with my fitness career, we talked about competing, right? Even though I was in recovery, I still, again, look at that. Look how gentle that switch is, that whatever diameter, little thing flipping, saying, Jody, okay, well, now you don't drink, but how about that body? Right? How about that body? Could it be better? So I started competing, right? And seeing, okay, let's see what I can do, and chasing again. And that was tough for me. And I, you know, set a goal for myself to get my pro card. And I did. I started competing, and I was like, oh, I loved it. You know why? Seal, the stage. We talked about that. Like, the stage, like, whoo, sparkly stuff, makeup,
dance, hair,
get up on the, like, stage.
Yes. Perform. Like,
perform for people. They're clapping. You're like feeling like, woohoo, you know, making people smile. And I loved that. But then I also was like, I want to be the best. I went to Las Vegas, and I did two different categories. And the biggest problem was I got fourth in both. Well, fourth, right? I was like, fourth. Right? What if I, again, it can take over just like that. And I got my pro card, but here's where there was a real moment of truth for me, was after I got that trophy and I was driving home from the competition by myself in my car with everyone telling me that I was the best one up on that stage by these judges, who God knows who they were, but for me, who cares, right? But for me, that's what I was certain. I wanted validation, right? And I got in my car, and I was driving home, and I realized that trophy meant nothing. I still felt the same about myself. What am I doing? And that's when I stopped chasing that and saying, you know what, Jody, and you got to get happy with you. and start to understand the image thing and get rid of it and help other women. And because I got other women into competing too. And then I felt bad. I was like, oh my God, you know, like it's fun, but then it wrecks people sometimes. It does. You've got to be a really strong mindset and have really good coaching and support for post show, I believe.
And that's the whole thing. So let's talk about that just a second, because post show, and I would say post shows for any goal. So it doesn't have to be, a lot of times we attach post show to just like bikini or doing something on stage, but you experience post show after your marathon.
Yes. Yes. The buildup of it's a buildup, and I love the training, and I trained for the marathon and it was great. And then it's something happens, it's over. Now what? You know, and a lot of times I think it's that overachieving personality, right? Like, it wasn't like I just ran the marathon. I saw this little 18-year-old. Now, granted, I was probably 23 at the time, but I was like, she was on my team. And I was like, she's not beating me, right? So once I passed her, I didn't look back. And my goal for that 3 hours and 49 minutes was for that, like, just competitive, right? Just competitive and overachieving and always wanting to be better. And yes, so there is this letdown when it's all over. And again, by yourself, it could be a train wreck. With good coaching, someone checking in with you, you know, as the pounds start to creep back on, as they should, you're okay, right? This is normal. You know, have an objective set of eyes. Let's talk through this, and to do it in a healthy way. We need support. That's why Be Amazing is the weekend is, it's women supporting women, people. We weren't meant to do this on our own. Another thing, like with God, we're here to serve each other. And when we do that, we thrive. When we do that, we thrive. We feel the best about ourselves. It's lonely. It's lonely on that path to chasing perfection and being in competition all the time, right? It was lonely for me. And now just having a much more open mind, being way more gentle with myself and, you know, where my body fat is at, am I fit? Yeah, I feel strong. I feel healthy. You know, is it my lowest body fat right now? No, but I feel so good. I feel better now being at a higher body fat percentage. It's bizarre. Like, I can't believe it's me saying this because it was so not me. And it is, you know, it is, but that's with a lot of work, you know, a lot of work and support and having the right people around you.
Everything you're saying and the fact that you just talked about Be Amazing Weekend, which is totally my heart. Everything that you're saying is right in line with that. The whole women supporting women, and we all need each other. And I was just writing a post today for the Instagram page. And it was about, there's that quote that says, you know, when women lift each other up, incredible things happen. And there's something about that. There's something about each of us supporting one another and needing each other. As far as just kind of bringing this full circle and wrapping it up, because I want to talk about where you came into competing, but when did you switch back to fitness? And was it a discussion with yourself if you went back into fitness after hair? Did you have to like set yourself up for going back to fitness? You know what I mean? Did you have to have like this self-check, like conversation, or did you just automatically know it was time to go back and jump back in full force?
Honestly, you know, it was because I was protecting myself. If I went back into the hair business, for me, it was a trigger, just because I was so new out of it. And, you know, to go in, and that's what I associated it with, partying almost, you know what I mean? That time in my life, that was when my alcoholism got bad, that's what I was doing. So I said, go back to your roots. You know, you're doing work on yourself. Trust yourself, trust your support system that you can go back into health and fitness and do it in a healthy way. Plus my education. And I did love it. I loved it. It's fun. My God, it's not really a job. Neither is hair. That's not really a job either. It's like, for me, it's fun. It's helping people feel good. It's creative. I love writing workouts. Again, it's creative. I love that piece of it. So I just had to, and as it, again, it developed, I got into teaching again. And then I'm like, I can have my own business. I don't need to work for someone else. So now I'm going to have my own business. Right. So, and I started like that. And the competing thing was because I was putting so much of myself into my business, I kind of lost that feeling of a goal for myself. So I picked that and said, that's what I want to do. But you can see where it went, Steel. It started out healthy. Right. But that can creep in. And even though I had support and I had people telling me the entire time, be careful, you know, you can see where those old obsessions can come back into play. But we have this journey, Seal, and we have to, I believe, make the mistakes we make to learn the lessons we need to learn. And I needed to get that trophy for me to understand that it was me. I needed to change how I felt about myself. Nobody's going to ever validate me and tell me that I was fit enough or this enough or good enough or that, whatever. I needed to know it and I needed to believe it. So again, so it starts out innocent and builds. But that needed to happen for me to make that switch. Even with photo shoots, you know, my last photo shoot, I didn't even prep for. I was just like, you know what? This is me. The other thing, I don't know if I told you this too, is also it was my first one without breast implants. I had breast implant illness as well. So I don't think I told you that.
No, you did not tell me that. We have to talk about this.
So girl, it goes with everything I've already said. I just need to fill in the blanks with implants. In my 20s, not good enough, whatever. Got made fun of for being flat chested. I was a fit girl, right? A dancer. So, you know, so I got implants, right? And, you know, and I had them through my baby, you know, whatever. They were actually, when I met my husband, we were dating and one of them exploded. Like one just like, I woke up one day and it was like done. Like one was like totally flat. So I had them replaced. That was like 5 years after I got them. I had them replaced. And then I didn't really care about them anymore. I was like a mom. I was competing and I didn't care about having them for competing. They were just there because I got them 17 years ago. But what happened is with my business competing so much, I competed a lot in 1 year and I got Epstein-Barr, which is kind of, do you know what Epstein-Barr is?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
So Epstein-Barr is like, it's like mono, but it's chronic. So like every time, you know, if you get too tired, if you don't take care of yourself, you're going to get this chronic fatigue. Like I'd fall asleep driving, right? So you already have like this autoimmune thing going on. And all of a sudden in my business, like I couldn't function. I couldn't do laundry. Like, and I didn't know what was wrong. And one of my clients who had breast cancer actually said, Jody, is it your implants? They're old. Is it leaking? Is something going on? I'm like, what? No. What? That doesn't even make sense. God brings me to this Facebook group. And in this group, Seal, I see people like, not you, but people I know in fitness, right? Like women I know in this group who had breast implant illness. And I'm like, I'm talking to them about like, yeah, Jody, I had mine removed. I feel so much better. The chronic fatigue is gone. You know, like my lymph nodes in my groin, Seal, were so swollen, I couldn't even sit. Like my body was just rejecting because one of them started leaking. And, you know, over time they were old. So your body said it's foreign object. And so it was awful. I had all the signs and, nobody believed me. Doctors don't believe you. They don't believe it's real. So it was that was another part of my journey. That was actually 3 years ago this spring that I had my breast implants removed. So, and I feel so much better.
Well, you're not the only person that said that. I actually have a friend that just had that done too. And same thing, like she wasn't feeling good all the time. Like it was like this constant. And she had read up on that and said, like, I really think it has to do with my implants. And then sure enough, got them removed this year and has already started feeling better.
Yeah, it is a real thing. And mine were fine for a really long time. But I think what it was, getting Epstein-Barr, right? This all happened in a matter of 5 years, like where my immune system, I have a strong immune system, but it was being compromised with Epstein-Barr. Now, I just think it was too much. My body couldn't fight this foreign object plus other, you know, it was just too much. So it is a real thing. And so as I was saying for that photo shoot, like I didn't even prep. I'm like, I don't care what my body fat is. I just want to be me. And that is huge for me. That was huge.
That's a huge spot for any woman, I think. And it could be for any person. Because I too, the same way, like it was always prep for the photo shoot, prep for this, prep for that, you know, always in that mindset and the stress that you put yourself under, you know, to get ready, whether it's for stage or for a photo shoot or whatever. Mm-hmm. But really learning to self-accept and self-love and appreciate all the seasons that you go through and the seasons that you're in. Mm-hmm. And I'm too in that place now where I'm really starting to be compassionate towards myself. Cause it is a journey and it's a hard thing to come to or to acknowledge. And I have to say this, cause you'll appreciate So I'm flat chested.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, all natural, baby. Completely flat. But I had a photo in, so I had, this is like back in, I think it was 2005, I think it was. And I had placed in top 10 for a show and was in a magazine, and they showed me from the side, and I mean, flat, mm-hmm. like, girl, ain't nothing.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of that thing that was always there. Well, the shows from then on, y'all are gonna laugh, the shows from then on, I would literally take athletic socks and stuff them in the bra of the bikinis to make me feel like I was, you know, more symmetrically, more, you know, feminine. Yeah. And I mean, that's real. Like, I look at a picture now that I'm posting, and I'm like, if anybody knew that that was like tube socks in my bikini, they would just be dying. Like, but that's the pressure as women that we feel, and like being able to laugh about it now and look at it and be like, wow, like that's how much pressure you feel under to show up.
I don't know how to change it. Having daughters is very hard, because I'll tell you, when one of my daughters found out I had implants, my kids never knew I had implants. So when I had to get them removed, my one daughter cried and cried and cried because she was like, I'm going to be flat chested. Like, she thought like it was over for her because her mother didn't have boobs. And I was like, I felt for her because, you know, that pressure is there. How does that happen? Why does that happen? Why? And then like that's going to be the worst thing that can happen to her, is that she's going to be flat chested like her mom. Like, you know, like, so why do we have to prep? You know what I'm saying? That's the thing too, with what you were just saying, is like, why do we have to prep, Seal? Why do we have to prep for a photo shoot? Why do we have to prep for, why can't we just go as we are? Right now, I love goals. Don't get me wrong. I'm in fitness.
And I was like, I totally agree, because I have a weekend that's all about that.
Yeah. I mean, I have goals, but for me, it's about performing. It's about the training, and it's about discipline, and it's about determination. It's not about fitting an ideal. Okay. So you can challenge yourself and set goals and have that come from a very, very healthy place. And there's a difference now. And I still do that. I competed in SAF just for the fun of it. It had nothing to do with anything else. I chose that federation because you get to dress up and you get to choreograph your own thing. And I was like, you know, I want to do a little bit more. So, but it came from such a healthy place, a different place. And the experience was completely different. Way less stressful for me. Way less stressful.
And that's awesome. And to me, that shows full circle. Like, yeah. It's, you know, like what challenges you, you know, facing some really hard places head on, and to be able to go back and do that, like, that's like to me, that is amazing. Like, I love this.
Well, I know. And I want to compete flat chested. That was the other thing, is COVID. So listen, I don't need socks. I'm not doing socks, Seal. Not doing the socks, girl. Okay. But I was actually in training last winter to do another SAF show, and then COVID hit. And, you know, I had to change my priorities. I had a business to save, like everything, my studio closed down. So, you know, but that is in the back of my mind, that's kind of there. And it is just to say, you can go up there as you were made, as you were born. Yes, you love the training, get up there, work hard, get yourself in great shape, but go up there as you are and be to have a good time. Right. So that is, I'm not checking that off the list. I'm not saying I'm never competing again. I'm just not doing it to get validation from judges I don't even know. You know what I mean? And because I enjoy the process. So
I love that, because that's the healthy spin on it. Like, that's the healthy take on it. Like, you, with any goal, you can do something, and it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to put you in a crazy mindset. No. So talking about mindset, how do you maintain a positive outlook and mindset now?
Now?
Every day.
Oh, I'll get up at 3:30. Okay. Which is insane. It's really early.
That is insane.
So stupid. People are like, why, Jody? I'm like, well, because I work at 5. However, I get up every morning. You guys, this has been my practice for over 10 years. And that's my prayer and meditation time. And I get up. As I said, I take that inventory at night, right? And I'm just like, okay, what do I need to get right with? And especially through COVID, it's been very hard. But I get up that early to have that time. right? I read my devotionals. There's no, all there is me, the dogs, and the cats. There's no kids. There's no husband. There's no craziness of this world. It's just me. And that is how I keep that positive mindset. The other thing is to keep showing up for others. Okay. I keep doing that. I feed myself in the morning, right? I take care of myself. I stay healthy, take care of my mind, spirituality. And then I keep showing up for others because at the end of the day, that's what keeps me going. So, you know, spinning it, changing my whole business. It's now all virtual. I had to pivot with COVID, right? The restrictions in New York were just way too great for me to keep my business open the way that it was. It was never going to be the same, you know? So I had to pivot, you know, but I keep showing up for other people. I don't know. That's just the way this world works. And when we do that, you know, this wonderful quilt, there's this big quilt in the world and you don't know when the threads will cross. You and I, you know, we've been in the same industry for how long, and look how our threads have finally in this quilt of life combined to bring about something new, something great, something to help other people and other women supporting each other. You know, talking about addiction, there's no shame in it. You know, I'll turn myself inside out for somebody to help them. Because it is our pain seal is our greatest instrument to help others. Our past sometimes, our mistakes sometimes is the greatest instrument that we have to help others in the song of life. And I believe that. So I will share with people. I mean, that is my instrument. My pain, my stories, the change, all of it is my instrument to help others. And that's what God gave me. And it's my story. And I love it.
There's nothing else to say. Like, I mean, that's why, like, I knew there was more to you because you do show up for people every day. You do show up on social media every day. You do show up in such a way of like inspiring joy and bringing out. When I first met you and saw you, like, it's just your energy. Like, it's just like this good vibe. Like, this chick, I gotta know. Like, she's like edgy and cool, but like, there's something more to her. There's like a depth there. And so I knew that there was something and had to have you on. And I think that you have really opened the door for more conversation. I believe it's a door opener for women that may be experiencing some things that need to hear that and need to hear they're not alone and need to see that there is somebody that's showing up every day. But girl, she's got stuff. Like you've been through some pain.
Oh yeah. I believe everybody has, right? But it's like, we don't have to let it conquer us.
Yeah.
Use it. I use it in a way to be in a positive way to help other people. I get it. My clients who come to me, I can recognize a sugar addict a mile away because I am one. Okay. You know, like you have an eating, like once you have these disorders, you're like, red flag, bing, 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 bing. Like, and I'm attracted to them and I want to help them. But again, until someone's ready, I wasn't ready. I had to be ready. And, you know, but that's, I'm there. And when I share, like sugar addiction's a thing too, girl, alcohol, you know, alcoholism, oh my God, cookies, sugar, that helps people come off of. You know, so that's a huge thing. That's a whole nother thing. But it's also, I have clients who are not getting results. And I'm like, you know what? I watch them. They're here every day, 5 days a week, eating right. And I know on the weekend, they're letting that sugar in and then they're getting derailed, baby. Why? Because it's real. It lights your brain up like a Christmas tree. Okay. For some people who have an addictive personality, sugar will do that. Alcohol, same thing. Right. So, you know, recognizing that and being there for people and sharing that I'm one too. I don't eat one Oreo ever.
Bag.
Ever. Who does that? That's like the person who can like have a half a glass of wine and leave it there. I'm like, who does that?
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing as you eat the row of Oreo cookies, people. The row. You eat the row. You don't eat one. Not me. Not this girl. So I share that with people and they're like, really? You know, because I still, yeah. Yeah. So let's deal with that. You know, let's talk about it. So.
All of it. That's all I can say. This has like been, this has just been such an awesome podcast. Okay. So I'm going to switch because you and I share one thing in common and we love to freaking dance.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, so girl. What is your jam? When you like when you're ready to just like break it down and work.
Don't
it
laugh.
Out,
I'm not telling you.
Oh, come on. You have to share.
I'm going to share, but here's the other thing. I remember before you and I actually even got together like this, there's a song that brings me all the time to my place, right? And you pop in my head. And I messaged you once. I was like, Seal, I think of you every time I hear this song. Now, we weren't even talking at that point, but I knew you, I watched you, and I knew you were a dancer. And I'm like, this is you. This is your song. I think of you when I play this. And this is it. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Don't laugh, girl.
I'm not going to laugh.
Okay, so it's a certain version, though, because it's Fame.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
But it's by, like, I don't even know how to say it, Naturi Naughton or something like that. It's the movie when they redid Fame. There's yes. a version, and it's like, you put that on, remember. And it's like, I'm in. I put my dance shoes on, and I'm jamming, and I might as well put my leg warmers on, too. Okay? And when you watch the video with it, it's even better. So I'm like, that's Seal. Like, you're that blonde girl. Me and you. You got to go back. Everybody go back. Go to YouTube. Put it on.
Go back and watch it, because you don't even have to tell me where to go. I love that. Like, I choreographed that routine for someone. And I remember, yes, for fitness. And I, the whole, like, Fame is like, yeah, love it.
Yeah. I'm going to live forever. I love it. So that could get me going. It doesn't matter. My kids hate it when I put that on in the car. And they're like, Mommy, you're going to drive us off the road. I'm like, put your hands on the wheel. I can't help myself. It's all right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay. Well, so now I'm going to have to, like, break that out.
You are going to break it out. You are. You break it out today, jamming into your weekend with a little remember.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay. So last thing before I let you go.
Okay.
It's always really important. Is there, like, one last thing on your heart that you want to share with the listeners?
Keep showing up. That's it. That's all you know what? Don't give up. But sometimes we have to surrender to win. And I will say, with the addiction piece that we talked about today, this is the one time that you surrender and actually win the battle, you know? And so if you're struggling, and I just want to say, Seal, for anybody out there who is listening, please reach out to me at Jody Meehan on Instagram. Please, you know, follow me for inspiration, or if you need to, you know, message me, you're questioning, just want to have a conversation, you know, like, hey, you know, let's go there. So come to me for that. You know, there's no shame in that. God has spilled my heart. Right. So, sometimes we got to surrender to win, but just keep showing up for yourself, because you're so important and so loved, and you have a purpose. If everybody just knows they have a purpose. Quilt of life, Seal, the quilt, you're all a thread. You're all a thread.
I love all of this. I can't wait to drop this one. This is incredible. Thank you so much for being on and being so open and so vulnerable. Because we talked about some pretty hard stuff today. We talked about some good stuff too, but, like, yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. You're awesome.
I love you, girl.
I love you right back. Thank you for joining me today. If you like the podcast, please like and share this with other women in your life. You can find out more about SweatNet on sweatnet.com or follow them on Instagram at SweatNet and SweatNet Charlotte. You can follow me personally on Instagram at itsealsmart. Stay tuned for the next episode of the SweatNet Be Amazing podcast.